recognize the face of God? Susan Shefflon, a Guidepost contributor, tells this story about how she saw the presence of God in the face of someone who was carrying guilt for one mistake. For months, she says, my sister, brother, and I were all living in different parts of the country, planning our father's 80th birthday celebration. We called back and forth, discussing food and arrangements. We decided to invite everyone from church, all his friends and neighbors, along with our family. At last, the day arrived. My sister and I stood at the door, excited about the prospect of seeing people we haven't seen for a long time. You think we'll recognize everybody, I asked? Well, it's been 39 years. People can change a lot in that period of time. Just then, a tall man with a warm smile appeared. He and his wife shook our hands. Do you remember me, he asked? Dangerous question, right? I drove your school bus. For a moment, I did not recognize him. I ran over your dog, he said. I've always felt so badly about that. The look of sadness on his face plunged me back into the past. I remembered that rainy morning and how I grieved for our dog. But I had put all that behind me while he still carried the burden all these years. It must have been a terrible thing for you, I said. But you know what I really remember? The way you waited for us on the mornings when we were late. I remember how you always greeted us with a big smile when we got on the school bus. Hitting our dog was not your fault. We should have not let her follow the bus. We should have kept her in our yard. I hugged him, and he smiled. It's good to be back home again, I said. Jacob and Esau have a similar story. The story begins with the firstborn Esau and his twin brother Jacob. They are as opposite as two brothers can be. Jacob is a more serious homeboy who is a help and a joy to his mother. Esau is an adventurous outdoorsman who finds God in the natural world and is his father's favorite. Jacob outsmarts his brother twice and manages to steal the right of the firstborn to be the manager of the land and decision maker of the heritage left by their parents. When Esau goes into his father's room after a hard day's work, hunting, and preparing a meal in anticipation of his father's blessing, and discovers his brother has impersonated him and stolen his birthright, he was heartbroken. He feels completely helpless when his father tells him he has no blessing for him. It's poignant, and it's so easy to identify with a sinking feeling in his heart. When what happened to Esau began to sink in, his helplessness slowly turned to anger. Esau was hopping mad, and he was ready to kill his brother. When Jacob is told about his brother's wrath, he grabs a few belongings and leaves with dispatch. Jacob arrives at the home of his mother's brother, Laban. The tables are turned, and now Laban dupes Jacob into marrying Leah, the oldest daughter. A new contract brings the marriage with Rachel, his first love. Jacob lives many years as the manager of Laban's herding industry. Eventually, Jacob realizes that his relationship with Laban was turning sour, and he decided it was time to head home with his wives, children, and his considerable wealth in herds of sheep and goats. The thought of going home was not without tension or fear. His last view of his brother was one who was hot under the collar and breathing fire. How would he handle that anger? And what would he do if his brother came out to him with a vision of revenge? Anger management. Perhaps they didn't have those kinds of counseling services like we do today. Perhaps the thought of anger management never even crossed their minds. Jacob didn't get much sleep the night before he was about to see his brother face to face. He didn't have a strategy for reconciliation with a brother he hadn't seen for years. But God seemed to solve the problem for Jacob who wrestled with a stranger. Was the stranger his brother in disguise? Was the stranger an angel? Was the stranger the guide of Jacob's ancestors? Was the whole thing a bad dream? Or was it the face of love and forgiveness that had eluded him throughout his life? As the sun rises and Jacob draws ever closer to home and to the meeting with his brother, the tension mounts. Presents are sent to his brother to soften the blow. Jacob lines up his family from those who are the least important in the front to the wife who is the love of his life at the tail end. To his credit, though, Jacob takes his place at the front of the line. He sees his brother coming in the distance, but he has 400 men with him. Jacob, with a lump in his throat, prepares for the worst. And then, the unbelievable happens. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and hugged him tight and kissed him. And they both wept. Jacob said to his brother, "To see your face is like seeing the face of God." The face of God? Wow! How do we recognize the face of God? Some interpret the face of God as the presence of God. Stephen Poulter, a Guidepost contributor, tells this story of how he saw the face or the presence of God. "The emergency room doctor gave it to me straight. 'Your kidneys are failing,' she said. I stared at my wife, Karina. Instinctively, I sought her hand. I'm a big guy, a long-haul truck driver, a guy's guy. But I was having trouble keeping it together after that diagnosis. How could this be? I was only 27 years old. Still, I had health problems, and this was probably the result. I got on the phone immediately to my family and close friends, partly to let them know, but partly, too, to find out if anyone close to me was a potential transplant match. I was on the bottom rung of the kidney donor list. The specialist I consulted said, 'You have 5 years to get a transplant,' or..." He didn't need to say more. "I called everyone. Well, almost everyone. There was my mom, but I couldn't call her. We hadn't spoken in years. My parents divorced when I was 8 years old. That hurt badly enough. But then mom told me to live with my dad, and that really hurt. 'I won't go,' I screamed at her. 2 weeks later, she packed my things. 'You don't have a choice,' she said, tight-lipped. 'You are going.' 'How can she do this to me?' I thought. Well, maybe it was part of the custody agreement, but no one would ever explain it to me. I rarely saw her after that and only spoke with her sporadically. I deliberately shut her out of my life. I swore to myself that when I grew up and married, there would be no one more devoted to family than me. Karina and our 3 girls became my whole world. Even when I was on the road, hauling loads halfway across the country, there was never a night when I didn't call to say how much I loved them. I spent every minute with them that I could. I didn't have time for mom, especially after I got sick. I was too sick to work. I needed 12 hours of dialysis treatment a week. I'd always believed that a man's job was to provide for his family. Now all I could do was lie around, even too weak, to play with my girls. Karina had taken a job at a fast food restaurant, but it didn't pay nearly enough. Karina finally told mom about my condition, but I wouldn't talk to her. 'Your mother has offered to let us move in with her.' 'No way,' I said. She called several times, and we had no choice finally but to accept her offer. Temporarily, of course. There were 9 of us in a 3-bedroom home. Mom had remarried and had two teenage children. It was all I could do to watch her with her new family when she had abandoned me. Mom tried to explain why she had sent me to live with my dad. "I just couldn't support you on my own," she said. But after years of heartache, I wasn't in much of a forgiving mood. One night, Karina told me that my mother had gone for a blood test to see if she might be a potential donor. Unfortunately, though, she's A positive, and you're O positive. I was tested when I went to work for the truck company, and they told me I was O positive. But why is she trying so hard to be a good mother now? Why wasn't she there when I really needed her? "Well, you need her now," Karina said softly. The day my first disability check arrived, we packed our things and moved back to Oklahoma. One Sunday, our daughter Joy asked me to go to church with her. "Not today," I sulked. Joy's disappointment reminded me of my vow to be the best father I could be. The sermon theme was forgiveness, not my strongest suit. I'd been angry for so long at my mother, at my illness. It was poisoning my relationship now with my wife and my children. I dropped my head and prayed, "Dear God, free me from this poison of anger. I don't want to live or die a bitter man. Please help me. Amen." After surgery for a ruptured vein in my leg, I was given an IV that stated A positive. I panicked and told them I was O positive. After a blood test, I was assured that I was A positive, just like my mother. My mother was able to give me one of her kidneys, and she did. After the transplant, Mom and I were given rooms on the same floor. Those first few days I was weak and sick from the anti-rejection drugs. Hour after hour, Mom sat beside me at my bedside. I smiled at her. "Thank you," I said. Any mother would have done the same thing, she said, reaching for my hand. No, not any mom, but my mom, who gave me life, not once, but twice. How do we recognize the face of God? We recognize the face of God in everyone whose face embodies the awe, love, and forgiveness of God. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.